Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we ask now that by the powerful working of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to understand the text of Scripture before us. Pray that you would instruct us, you would encourage us, and you would continue to conform us into the image of your Son, whom we love and in whose name we pray. Amen. First impressions aren't always accurate, are they? You get to know a person a little better and they turn out to be very different to what you thought they'd be when you first met them. The opening 5 minutes of the movie were enthralling, but the longer it went, the less interesting it became. And it turned out to be rather dull and boring, yet more of the same turgid Hollywood drivel. For the first 10 minutes, your team was playing brilliantly. They were dominating the game. It looked like they were going to win by a lot. But then as the game progressed, the tide turned and they were smashed. They were heavily defeated. If you're a New South Wales fan, you know all about that. First impressions aren't always accurate. And sometimes this is true when it comes to our study of the Bible. We read a verse or a passage and it seems fairly obvious what it means, but then we take time to think about it. When we consider the context, we discover that what we initially thought the text meant wasn't quite right. Now, I had this experience with the verse we're going to consider this evening. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Last week we made our way through verses 12 and 13, and tonight that brings us to verse 14. Now, the first few times I read this verse, I thought, what a fantastic text. And there's a great sermon just waiting to be preached. Above all else, put on love. Now, love is the most important thing. And we're to put on love because it's love that binds us together. Now, what a tremendous message. And that'll preach. Now, all of that is true. And that's a message we need to hear. But as I studied this verse in more depth, I discovered that that's not exactly what Paul was saying here. My first impression was wonderful, but not accurate. My aim this evening is simply to help us understand what Paul was teaching us here. It's a bit more nuanced than we might initially think, and then I'm going to draw some application at the end. As we saw last time, Paul is talking about new clothes for the new man. There are sins to be put off and virtues to be put on. And at the end of this discussion, Paul says, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So what does this mean? Well, first of all, some definitions. The word above here is a little Greek preposition, epi. It means above, as in over or upon. For example, your jacket is above your shirt. Okay? It's over it and it's upon it. That's where your jacket sits in relation to your shirt. When we see this word above in the Bible, we tend to think of something or someone being exalted and therefore highly valued. Our Saviour has a name above all names. Sometimes that's the way the word is used. But here it simply carries the idea of over or on top of. Then we have this expression, all these things. Above all these things. Well, what things? And that's the question, isn't it? What's Paul referring to? It's the virtues he mentions in verse 12. The new clothes that we are to put on. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Above or over these things, we are to put on charity. This is a word we're very familiar with, agape. This is distinctly Christian love. It's goodwill, it's benevolence. A love that seeks the good of others, whether they be lovable or not. It's love that is not self-serving. Whether this love is reciprocated or not doesn't come into the picture. It's not based upon feelings and emotions, but that's not to say that feelings and emotions aren't part of it. The inner man is very much engaged. But attraction or affection are not what drives this love. Paul calls this love a bond, or rather the bond. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond. We've come across this word before in our study through Colossians, chapter 2, verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Bands is the same word translated bond here in chapter 3, verse 14. In chapter 2, it refers specifically to the ligaments by which the members of the human body are united together. The Greek word is syndesmos, and there is an injury that footballers particularly dread called syndesmosis. It's a high ankle sprain. The ligament that joins the tibia to the fibula is stretched or torn. Here in chapter 3, this word is used in a general sense to refer to something that binds things together. Something that holds things together. That something in this context is charity. Interestingly, Paul calls charity the bond of perfectness. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. This word perfectness doesn't refer to moral perfection, but rather to completion, or to maturity. The word is teleotetos, from teleos. In Greek societies, adults were referred to as teleoi, those who were mature, those who were complete in their mental and physical development. So Paul is saying that charity is a bond that perfects, a bond that completes or matures. Now the question is, what does charity bind together? Is Paul saying that it binds us together, those who are in Christ, those who participate in the new man? Love holds us together, and therefore we must put it on. Or is Paul saying that charity binds these virtues together? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Of course, charity does bind us together, but that's not actually what Paul is saying. Rather, the idea is that charity binds these virtues together. Now, listen to what some well-known Bible scholars have written on this text. First of all, from Vincent's New Testament Word Studies. Love embraces and knits together all the virtues. Dr. John MacArthur. In keeping with the motif of putting on clothes, love is the belt or sash that pulls all these things just mentioned together. I think this is absolutely right. It's an extension of the imagery. Now, over the top of all of the new clothes, one is to put the belt of love. A belt that holds them all together and in place. And then listen to Dr. Douglas Moo. This is from his commentary that I've referred to often in our study. He writes, in the New Testament, love is frequently highlighted as that virtue without which others cease to have the value they are meant to have. See especially the well-known text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience attain their full power only when they are unified by and empowered by love. So that's what the text means. We are to put on love because it's what binds together and completes all of these other Christian virtues. That brings us to a couple of points of application. I want to leave you this evening with two truths to consider. Number one, without charity, the virtues are disjointed and haphazard. They lack the bond. What I mean here is that without putting on love, there might be an attempt to be long-suffering over here with this person, but maybe not with others. We might try to be meek in our dealings with this individual, but not with another. There might be a dose of humility in this situation because we know we should be humble, and maybe some kindness in this other set of circumstances, but not in all circumstances. Our attempts at cultivating and demonstrating these virtues will be all over the place, ad hoc, inconsistent, and disjointed. There won't be a unity of purpose, but rather a slapdash attempt to do what we know we should be doing. These will not be characteristics that we display in every circumstance, in all our dealings with others, as they should be. When we put on love, when Christian love, agape is what's driving us, all of these virtues come together in our relationships with others. There is a unity of purpose. I'm seeking the good of that person, and if it's my long-suffering or my kindness or my compassion they need, that's what I give. And I come to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ with humbleness of mind and meekness. The second thought to take home from our text this evening is that without charity, the virtues are lacking. They're not being perfected. And I think this is the larger point. A child can't do all of the things an adult can do simply because they haven't developed the ability. They don't yet have what they need in terms of mental processing power or physical strength or emotional capacity. A child is not mature. A child is not complete insofar as being able to do all of the things that human beings can do. In the same way, when it comes to these virtues, without love, they're lacking, severely lacking. They're incomplete. They can't operate properly or to their fullest extent. Love completes them. Love matures them. Love is the bond of perfectness. Love is what enables these virtues to be demonstrated sincerely. In fact, we could go so far as to say is that love, we could go so far as to say that love is the fountainhead of authentic virtue. These spring up from love, and like the progress of a river, they become deeper and wider. They mature, they're operative in all of their richness. This brings us to where we finished our last study. When Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, what comes first? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love comes first, and the others follow. It is this grace as the leader that introduces the family, in the words of one old divine. If there is no Holy Spirit wrought love, then we can try to be long-suffering, we can try to be kind and compassionate, but our efforts will be stunted and unsustainable. It will be self-effort, it will be the work of the flesh. The old Baptist theologian John Gill, in his commentary on our text in Colossians, put it this way. They will only be done in show and appearance, in mere guise and hypocrisy, if love is wanting. This actuates and exercises all the rest. It is only from this principle that true sympathy, real kindness, undisguised humility and meekness, patient long-suffering and forbearance, and hearty forgiveness proceeds. Love is what actuates and exercises all the rest. In a similar vein, Dr. MacArthur has written this: believers will never enjoy mutual fellowship through compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, or patience. They will never bear with each other or forgive each other unless they love one another. In fact, the way to sum up the commands of chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 is to say, love one another. To try to practice the virtues of chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, apart from love, is legalism. They must flow from love, which in turn is the fruit of the Spirit-filled life. If we are to put on love and thereby demonstrate authentic Christian virtue, ours must be a Spirit-filled life. We must walk in the Spirit. The truth is that apart from the Spirit, we can't put on love. I don't have it within me, and you don't have it within you to love others as Christ calls us to. We can love those who love us, we can love those who are lovable, but that's not Christian love. The unregenerate world is capable of that, to love the unlovely. To love sacrificially, sincerely, and unceasingly, we need the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to live in dependence upon the Spirit, by His rule and guidance. And He exercises His rule. He guides and strengthens us, not by visions, not by mystical experiences or inner impressions, but by His Word. The Word He inspired. And by the gifts He has given to His church. And by His intercession. And so we feed on His Word, we have our minds renewed, we believe what He says, we submit to His Word, we avail ourselves of His gifts, that is, we receive the ministry of those gifts in the church, and we pray. We pray in the power of the Spirit, knowing that He prays for us. And as we do all of this, He is at work in us, changing us from the inside out, remoulding our character, enabling us to love others and put on all of these blessed virtues. This is what we want, isn't it? Sincere love, authentic virtue, lives that are becoming ever more like Jesus, a fellowship that is becoming more heavenly than earthly. This is the new man. These are his new clothes. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let's put them on. Amen.